The first scripture reading is taken from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hid him no longer, or when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it along the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket along the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning takes us back again to the book of Romans. I know that Art preached the last few weeks from Romans, and I was preaching from Romans before I was on vacation. We come to a pivotal chapter in the book, Romans chapter 12. Let's listen to God's word together. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his teaching. Or he who teaches, he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that these can just be words on a page until your Holy Spirit just brings life to them. And we can just be people in a pew until your Holy Spirit descends and inspires and strengthens and convicts. So we invite your Holy Spirit now to do just what he always does when people are open to it. Lord, we want to open ourselves to the truth of your word, that it might be transforming here among us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Connie Stevens, not the Connie Stevens that you may think of when you hear that name, it's really Cornelius Stevens, began as the pastor of a large southern church after having spent 8 years ministering in Moscow and the Eastern European cities. And things had changed a lot when he got back to the U.S. This was a few years ago. We all know that technology continues to move at lightning speed. But years and years ago, when it was just getting started to break in, it was causing a lot of confusion for people. He was a veteran missionary, but he was not initiated with technology. And so he came into the office one day and complained to his secretary that he didn't think his paging device was, that these folks were asking him to wear, was really working properly. And very graciously, she pointed out that he was wearing his garage door opener. And that explained why he wasn't having much success at opening the garage door. You see, Pastor Stevens had all the tools. He just needed someone to come alongside of him to teach him how to use them. And if you're going to find somebody to teach you how to use technology, ask a kid. They usually know a whole lot more about this thing than you or I do. Now give it to Nathan. Nathan can probably do all kinds of stuff with an iPhone that we have no idea. The same thing oftentimes is the problem in the church. We have tools. We have gifts bestowed on us by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. When we came to Christ and opened our hearts to him, he blessed us and baptized us in his Spirit. And he baptized us with gifts. But many people in the church have very little idea as to what the gift is and how to use it and how to grow the gift. An elderly woman was entertaining. She asked one of her guests to go get a box of letters out of the drawer of her bureau. And in that same drawer was a very beautiful quilt. And her guest asked about the quilt. She said, "Go take it out and look at it." And she just, "Wow, what a masterful piece of artwork. This is gorgeous." And the woman told her that her grandmother had made it for her and given it to her on the day of her wedding so many years ago. And the guest asked, "Well, why isn't it on your bed?" And she said, "Oh, it's too beautiful to use." God has given us so many gifts. Some of them we simply don't know how to use. Others we're afraid to use because it might put us in a position where we feel uncomfortable. But if you're God's child, if you've opened your heart to his grace and received Christ, then there's something that you can be very sure about. And that's this: that the Holy Spirit has given you gifts for ministry, for the building up of the church, for the extending of God's love, for the healing of this broken world. And that every gift that God gives is a good gift. We don't always use them well, but the gifts are good. We as a church have chosen, and I can remember, it was, I think it was 3 years ago, when we sat here on a summer Sunday morning and worked out our mission statement after having the vision team worked it and thought we had it all tooled, and then we submitted it to the congregation, and the congregation said, well, not quite there yet. And you took it and reworked it, which is, by the way, the way the vision team wants to work. Anything that we work at, we want to submit to you. It's to be in your hands. It's not fait accompli when it gets to the church. We want to hear you shape it. And that's exactly what happened that morning. And we decided that together our mission would be to extravagantly bless people. Over the top blessing with the love of God. And that mission is a very purposeful mission. I think there we go. We want to be able to develop ourselves and others into the people who follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. When we follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, that's how we permeate the whole world with God's love, with God's justice, with God's hope. We look at the world situation and we say, what a shame. And God says, yeah, more than what a shame. He sometimes looks at us and says, what a shame. So many gifts I've given to you in a drawer. He says, get them out. Do more than display them. Put them to work. Permeate the world with my truth, with my love, with my justice, with my hope. And so the Apostle Paul says, present your body, present your mind for transformation, and prove what the will of God is. That's what he's saying, in effect, here in verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're to present ourselves for sacrificial service. That's not always comfortable, is it? Oftentimes we're doing things and there's probably a little, if not more, grumbling that goes on. I've done it. How about you? Am I the only one around here that does this stuff? Yeah, right? We've all done that. But did you listen to the Holy Spirit's response to that? He says, no, you're not. Sometimes it feels like it. Talk to Elijah. He had that problem too, thinking he was the only one. He says, I've got 7,000. There are a lot of people that are doing, yet there are a lot that are not. It's not always comfortable. The normal Christian life is a stretch, and it's meant to be a stretch. There are long days, late nights, emotional drain. But the Word tells us that in that process, we are being proven. We are being worked so that everything becomes sure and clear, and that the image of God in us starts to become more and more evident. Even in the midst of our muttering, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He says, you know, this isn't easy, but I'm shaping you. I'm going to use this. I'm going to use you for the building of my kingdom in a way that you don't understand right now. Present your body a living and holy sacrifice. God's will is confirmed when people see it in us. Yesterday, I made a new dessert to be served today. Creme brulee. Love that stuff. But I've never made it before. And I haven't tasted it We're going to serve some guests later on this afternoon. And Mom, you'll get a chance to taste this too. It uses milk and heavy whipping cream and a pudding mix, and they're constant stirring and then cooling and then caramelizing, and then you put it in the broiler. Is it good? I don't know. Ask our guests tomorrow. But it's literally a case where the proof is in the pudding. And so it is with the way we use our gifts. We don't see God's glory until we're willing to risk something. It's in the risking. It's in working through the grumbling and waiting for God to bring joy to our hearts. And He will. When we taste the creme brulee and say, you know, this was really good. It was a lot of work, but it's good. That's the way His gifts are at work in us. Spiritual gifts are always good when they're mixed with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. My problem is I'm sometimes trying to do the gifts, but I'm not being very gentle, not very much self-control, not very much peace in me. And that's what makes it messy. He says, sit down and get an attitude adjustment, Frank. And sometimes that's exactly what I need to do. It changes me, and it should. And so the Apostle Paul says, think of yourself now with sound judgment. Don't think of yourself the way you think of yourself. I want you to get a good perspective on yourself. I want you to have my perspective on you. Through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Sound judgment. It means a solid mind, not puffed up, not deflated, but humanly realistic. Getting God's perspective. And in this, I learned that I am not God's total answer to a needy world. Get that messianic complex out of the way. I'm not the answer. He is. But I'm part of the answer because I'm part of the body. It's me plus you and you and you and you and you and a lot of people that aren't here right now. We together are the body of Christ. Together we're the answer because it's no longer us. It's Christ who lives in us. That's where the power comes. How do you answer God's call? To be an extravagant blessing. To be light in the darkness. That's not a rhetorical question. How do you answer the call? We need to be thinking about that. Have I answered the call, or am I pushing away from it? And if we're to be honest, we oftentimes push away. Not comfortable. Give me the easy chair or the rocking chair. And God says, no, I want you to keep working. I was talking yesterday with Kathy Benjamin, who is our pianist. Some of you know Kathy. She's been a pianist at Calvary Baptist Church Bristol for many years. And she said to me as she was leaving, and we talked together because we have so much in common with our background with Philadelphia College of Bible, now Cairn University. And she said, I can't stand it when people just sit around. She says, I want to grow. I want to keep growing until the Lord calls me home. And I said, I'm with you. Till the last breath goes out of me, I want to keep growing. So there's lots of good stuff in us yet. Even if the time is short, there's still good stuff in us. And he says, discover this good stuff, this good gift that's within you. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Your spiritual gifts are meant to be discovered and put to use. That's how we prove the will of God. And the best way to discover your gift is to ask some mature Christians who know you well to talk with you about what they see in you. Study the lists of gifts that you find in Scripture, especially this passage, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and then it's some others are just kind of smattered around, and some aren't even mentioned in Scripture. But we've identified them as clearly being spiritual gifts, the gift of intercession being one. Study this list of gifts and learn how they're demonstrated. They're oftentimes, from Romans 12, they're oftentimes called the motivational gifts. The things that make us tick. What's your motive? What's under you as you are at work? For some, it's prophecy. There are people who speak God's truth and speak it boldly. Now, everybody's supposed to speak truth, but everybody doesn't have the gift. Some have that gift. Some have gifts of ministry, which are serving. You know, these are the people that are always doing. You see them all over the church helping out here and there. Always, and they do like to do it very quietly. They don't want any fanfare because that's the kind of person they are. Teaching. Teaching is being able to explain God's word in a very clear way so that people say, aha, that's what that means. I know that that's my main gift and my main motivational gift. I'll teach you when you don't want to be taught. When you need a hand of comfort, sometimes I have to catch myself and say, you know what, you need to see my wife. Because she has the gift of compassion and mercy. That's her motivational gift. Exhortation. Exhortation is being able to encourage, to build up, to call out, so that we find ourselves, yeah, I want to do this. It's a person who exhorts inspires. The gift of giving. These are people who cannot help but give. Usually, they've got fat wallets. And God gives them that grace to have fat wallets. And he says, now, use it. And they say, absolutely. That's what I just love it when I can give these things away. And we have some of those here among us. The gift of leading is the person who stands in front. The person who kind of leads the charge and says, let's take that hill. Let's make a difference. And then the person of compassion. The person with mercy, tender-hearted, feels for broken people. Now, all of us should be operative in some way in all of these things. But some of us are just Holy Spirit gifted at them. And I want to submit to you that more than likely, you will find yourself in one of these gifts that are mentioned, these seven gifts that are mentioned. Let's help each other out. I'm wondering if we can take just a moment. Get with the people. Talk to one person next to you. If you're not next to somebody, get next to somebody. And I would like to do something very unusual for our formal worship. I'd like you to do a little talking. The gifts are going to remain on the screen. Tell one another what you see as far as the motivational gifts. What do you see in that person that's next to you? Okay? Just take a few minutes. Let's go. Here you go. I want to make sure I'm turned off. Good. So, I already shot my wad on this.